Thank you, Donna. Like I say, welcome to the first Sunday of the new year, 2024. It's good to have the opportunity to be here. We kind of coming in pieces and going in pieces. It's good to have Donna back with us, but Vicky's out taking care of her son. Mari's pinch hitting there, but we always have a stellar lineup, man. We're going to do the best we can as we come into 2024. Now, look at somebody over there next to him and give them a wave, a smile, something that says, I really am glad that you're here today. But make sure that that wave that you give them also says, I'm glad to be here today. If you're part of our online audience, please say hello to our very own Dr. John Cazito, who is always there to answer any questions that you may have along the way. So we're so grateful for Dr. K, as I call him, and we're so tickled to have this opportunity once again to be able to be together as we kick off a new year with our Lord and Savior at Central Baptist Church. Let's look to the Lord in a word of prayer as we begin. Father, as we come to you again, we're grateful and thankful for the opportunities that you give us. And Lord, as we come into this new year with fresh new hopes, Lord, I pray that you would just lead us and guide us and direct us in all that is said and done, that this might truly be a stellar year, a year where you do such incredible things that there's no one that would ever be able to take credit for them except for you. For Lord, we want to be your servants. We pray that you will help us and teach us and guide us along the way of what you would have for us to do. And Lord, may the year 2024 be the best year ever for us personally, for our families, and then Lord, also for our church, Central Baptist Church. Bless us as we endeavor to worship you today, Lord, through song, through the reading of your word, the preaching of your word, through our giving. May each and everything that is said and done honor and glorify you. Help us, Father, to lift you up as you draw all men unto you. And Lord, we will be so careful to praise you for it as we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Good morning. Please turn with me to watch the screen for 161. Stand with me as we sing Crown Him with Many Crowns.
The mighty power of God that made the mountains.
About singing in the choir or just checking it out. We're having our first rehearsal of the year today at 5 o'clock. Be starting some new music, and it doesn't mean you come one Sunday and you have to stay, but we'd love to have you come check it out if you'd have an interest in that. Please join me as we sing 206, Blessed Be the Name.
Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Happy New Year. I tell you, God is truly good, and all the time, God is good. And sometimes you wonder, but it is true. You know, there are those times that for some of us, we were looking forward to getting out of 2023. For some of us, we are crawling into 2024. For some of you, you come into 2024 with new hopes and new desires. But I like how kind of an illustration that I had in my mind. Somebody said, well, how was the end of your 2023? And I said, well, it kind of reminded me of being on the playground when I was younger. Now, remember when I was younger, how many of y'all remember the merry-go-round for all of us who were a little older? That death trap that was made out of steel. Yeah, and remember the sliding board that was like five stories tall, made out of steel and that sort of thing. But you remember the merry-go-round. You'd get that thing going, and you would try to see if you could hold on to it. And a lot of times it'd beat you. It'd sling you across the playground, and, I mean, you would be tomahawking through the air. And then you would always go back and try to get on with it going the same speed, and that thing would beat you to death. I mean, I'm surprised some of us are still alive. Some of you probably still have a few scars that show that you were a real kid back when kids were kids. Well, for some of us, coming into a new year was a lot like that. For a lot of us, coming out of the pandemic of 2020 was the same way. Yeah, in a lot of ways, we have not been the same since we came through that thing called the pandemic. There are still changes that are happening, or our everyday lives are different than they used to be pre-pandemic. Yeah, a lot of people have referred to that as the new normal. So, you know, one of the things as we close out a year and as we begin another year, you know, we all do so with fresh hopes and dreams. I'm not saying that you're a resolution maker. You may or you may not be. If you are, most of the time you probably don't tell anybody, because if you tell somebody, that brings accountability to it, so that by the end of this month, when you've broken it, you don't have to worry about somebody holding you accountable for the resolution that you made. A lot of us have learned the hard way, haven't we? That a lot of those things that we say are they're a lot tougher to do. Well, what about our personal, I mean, we do that in our personal lives, but what about our church life? What about corporately? When does 2024 look like for you personally, and what does 2024 look like for us as a church corporately? Well, today, I'm just going to use one verse today out of the Bible. I'll give you the context of this verse, and then I want us to take a moment to consider what 2024 is going to look like, and what 2024 will be like. In other words, what is our vision as a church, as we begin to go forward in a new year, after being shaken by the pandemic, after being, you know, shaken loose in so many ways, personally as well as corporately, what does 2024 look like? I love what has been said so many times, because it is so true, that if you do the same old thing, you get the same old results. So if you want to see things differently, if you want to see God do some incredible things, it's going to take some effort on our part as well. Now, the verse I want to use is essentially when the children of Israel were about to enter into the promised land. Y'all remember that, don't you? And they had wandered in the wilderness for 40 years, and it was time for them to step up. It was time, by the Lord's timing, for them to be able to go in to this promised land. And God was essentially giving Joshua, who was going to be their leader, what the marching orders were to be as they set forth on a new journey. You see, you and I have set forth on a new journey as well, this new year. And there are expectations in this new year that God has for each and every one of us. And He lays out what those expectations are. Now, as we begin to look at this situation, they've been 40 years, think about it, 40 years in the wilderness, okay? Now, God had made them promises, and He was about to fulfill that. They've got their new leader. They're getting ready, you know, to cross the river into this particular promised land. God gave them all of the specifics as to how it would be done. The priest would bear the ark. They would cross over. They would get to the other side, and he's laying out what the steps of the journey will be. But I love something that was said in the midst of that, and I think that it holds true for you and I today as well. Our text comes out of Joshua chapter 3. If you've got your Bible, go ahead and turn over there with me. I'll stall for a minute while you find that. That's one of them Old Testament books that if you got to look at the index, look at the index. It's okay. Or we'll get one of our Awana kids to show you where it is. How's that? We'll get one of them to point it out for you. But this is in the book of Joshua, and this is the point where God is telling them how they are going to enter into the promised land. This is what is going to take place. But in the midst of doing that, he gives us verse 5 in Joshua chapter 3. And notice what it says. It says, "And Joshua said to the people, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you." Let's pray together. Father, your word is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Lord, I pray that today it would truly pierce our heart, that we would be attentive to the Holy Spirit's movement in our hearts and lives, that, Lord, you might be magnified. Father, I pray that you will speak to us today. Lord, that you will give us hope for the future, that you will give us strength for the journey as we enter into a new promised land. And Lord, I just pray right now that above all things that we will magnify you, that people would see you in us and desire to have you in their life simply because we have represented you well. Lord, be with us today and speak to our hearts as only you can as we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So yeah, when you think about that, in the middle of all these instructions, here is something that is being said to them. It says, Joshua said to the people, sanctify yourself. What does sanctify mean? Sanctify. What's that?
Purify.
Yeah, purify. Get ready. Something great is going to happen. Sanctify yourself. Pull yourself apart. Isn't that something that we need to do on a daily basis with God? Every morning, we should sanctify ourselves before Him. You know what? God may have given you strength for the journey yesterday, but today is a new day. Amen? You may have succeeded yesterday, but today is a new day. And each new day brings its own new troubles, right? Sure it does. So it's not something that we do one time, check the box off, and move forward. Each and every day. What is it that we learned even in the New Testament? We are to die daily to ourselves, to take up our cross and follow Him. Folks, that's not an easy journey. But the Lord always warned those along the way what they were signing up for when they decided to be His disciples or when they decided to follow Him. So he says, sanctify yourselves. And notice what he said, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. In other words, today is the day to get ready for what tomorrow is going to bring. There's tomorrow on the horizon. Now, I'm going to tell you this. We don't all get tomorrow, do we? Yeah, I just think about my life here recently. I think my dad thought that tomorrow would come. But thanks be to God, he was prepared today for when today the Lord called him home. Now, I will say this. For you and I, the Lord is sitting there saying to each of us personally, to each of us individually, and he is saying to us corporately as a church, get ready today. Because what? Tomorrow, the Lord is going to do wonders among us. I'll say this, man, we're a pretty beat up crowd, aren't we? You look around this room and you see all the things that folks have gone through lately and in 2023. I can look out among you and I see victory already. Now, like I said, we may not have charged through running and breaking the ribbon in the new year. Some of us crawled into the new year. Some of us were dragging a leg into the new year. But thanks be to God, we're here. Amen. And because we're here, that means God has something planned for us, that God has something in store for us. So what does that look like for us personally, and what does that look like for Central Baptist Church? You know, it's really easy to sit back and say, well, these are things we need to do. The question is, how do we do them? Isn't that what it really boils down to? Yeah, somebody may say, well, you need to climb yonder mountain over there. And somebody goes, okay, great. How do we do that? Who's got the gear? Where do we start? What's the best place to traverse? There's all kinds of questions that come in along the way. How is it that we are going to reach Oak Ridge for Jesus Christ? This is a very diverse community these days, isn't it? Wouldn't you say? We have got a melting pot, hodgepodge of people from all over the place. We got those of you who grew up here. We got our farmers, but we've got executives. We've got all kinds of people in this town. We got tall ones, we got short ones, we got skinny ones, we got fat ones, we got smart ones, we got dumb ones, we got weird ones, we got all those. And you know what? Each and every one of them, Jesus Christ died on a cross and rose again for. And there's a place for them. That place should be right here. How do we reach them? Well, everything of eternal significance that has ever been accomplished by God has always been able to be traced back to a kneeling feature in prayer. You got to pray. Nothing of eternal significance happens or is accomplished aside from prayer. This year, we have got to be a praying church more so than we ever have in the past. And I want us to add a new dimension to that. I want to add a new dynamic to that. How many of you all walk? Get out and walk. Now, I know some of y'all are saying, well, preacher, it's wintertime. I get that. But, yeah, in the summer, do you walk? Do you get out there? A lot of us do. Well, listen, how about let's do this. As you are out there walking in your neighborhood, how about you become the prayer warrior for your neighborhood? How about you be that person who walks down those streets and prays for those families in those homes specifically? You don't even know who they are yet. Maybe you're the person that God has put in that particular place to pray God's hedge of protection over those people, that they may have an opportunity to come to know Him. Maybe, just maybe, you'll catch those people going out to get the mail. Maybe you'll have that opportunity to introduce yourself. Maybe you will have that opportunity to put feet on the prayers that you pray along the way. How many times have you ever gone through a neighborhood and just claimed it in the name of Jesus? Central Baptist Church needs to do that in 2024. I'm talking physical. Yeah, get out there. Okay, if you're not a walker, you know, somebody said something the other day. Said something about, well, does this particular, does melanoma, I'll just say, does melanoma run in your family? I said, nobody runs in my family. Don't work that way. Listen, you may not be the walker. You may not be the runner, but most of you are the driver. Drive through that neighborhood. Listen, don't let Satan hand you all these excuses. Drive through the neighborhood and pray for it. If we're going to claim it, it first has to be conquered in prayer. Remember what it is that the Lord said to one of His servants in the Bible? He said, you start walking and everything that you walk around, I'll give to you. It's time for us to start walking around Oak Ridge and claim it in the name of Jesus Christ that He's going to do something great and incredible. And I believe with all of my heart that 2024 really can be the best year Central Baptist Church has ever had. I believe that. But it starts right here. It starts in this room. It starts with you. It starts in the neighborhoods. It starts in the communities. Yeah, taking the light of Christ to a broken world. And seeing all people through the eyes of Jesus Christ. Are we doing that? You see, I think we've lost our vision. We have become a nasty, nasty world, haven't we? We have become a short-tempered world. And here's the bad part. That has become infectious even within the church, even within God's people. We have become some nasty people. And I'm not preaching just at you. I'm preaching to me as well. Our tempers are short. Our voices are louder, our opinions are stronger, but the question is, do we really love our neighbor or do we just like them? Do we love them enough to be able to be the instrument in God saying, listen, there's no accident that years ago God put us where He put us. There's no accident that God put you where He's put you. There's no accident that you live where you live. There's no accident that you shop where you shop and you walk where you walk and you do what you do. Let's make 2024 the year of our Lord and Savior and our attentiveness to Him and what He would have for us to do. to take that light of Jesus Christ to a broken world. And we've got to see them as He does, not as we do. Too many times we look and we snap to a judgment about what we think about somebody. Are we looking at them through the eyes of Jesus? I've preached sermons in here before that you've heard where, if you remember, where the lady who went and she anointed the feet of Jesus and the tears fell from her eyes onto the feet of Jesus. And there were those of His disciples and the host of the home were indifferent towards her. And Jesus said one of the greatest things ever when He looked at them and He said, "Do you see this woman?" Now, He didn't mean just physically and what she was doing. Do you see this woman? He was asking if people could see beyond their perception of her to see what it was that she was doing. So I want to ask you, I want to challenge us as the body of believers at Central Baptist Church in this year, do you see that woman? Do you see that man? Do you see that neighbor? Do you see that business owner? And I don't mean just with your eyes. Do you see them with holy eyes? Do you see them as Jesus sees them? We're real good about making little acronyms like WWJD. You know, what would Jesus do? And we wear that and turn right around and do exactly the opposite of what Jesus would do. I've said before, we need to represent Him well. I can tell you right now that I've talked to many folks who have been servers before, and they say they hate working on Sunday because that's when the church people come in. They said all they do is complain and never tip. Wow. That's why I've told y'all before, I said we used to have those little tip tracks and whatnot. And I said, you know what, it's all right to use them, but don't leave less than 20% if you use one. If you're not, then don't use it at all, because you give the church and you give the Savior a bad name. Plain and simple. Do something to bless somebody this year. Now, here's the bottom line. As we come into 2024, to see the new vision that God has given us, there cannot be any spectators. You can't just be on the sideline. You can't just be in the seat. Everyone needs to be serving the Lord and the talents and the abilities that God has given them. Everyone. Did you hear me? That includes you. Now you're sitting there going, well, I don't do this and I don't do that. I'm not worried about what you don't do. I'm asking you what you do do. What is it that God's given you? You can't tell me that God has completely overlooked you in the area of some shape, form, or fashion of talent. He's given you something. Some of the greatest people I've seen in the kingdom haven't been the preachers. Some of the greatest people I've seen in the kingdom haven't been the Sunday school teachers. They've been the people who have put their arms around somebody and gave them a hug on a Sunday morning when they desperately needed it. When they desperately needed it. The ones who would just stop by to say, look, I was thinking about you today, and I just wanted to stop by and let you know that I love you. Keep on keeping on. The funeral director of my father's funeral said, I wanted you to know your daddy would stop by my funeral home at least twice a week to encourage me, to give a kind word, to say, I know things are tough, just don't quit. Don't quit. Keep on going. At least twice a week. That means something to people. Represent the Lord. You cannot be a spectator. Today is draft day. And every last one of you have been drafted. There ain't no free agency. You've been drafted. You're expected to do some things in 2024. You say, well, what can I do? Well, what can you do? That's the question I would ask you. Everybody on the team's not a quarterback. Everybody on the team is not a running back. There are some linemen. There are some defensive backs. Everybody has a place. And the Word tells us that when we work together, we make up the body of Christ, doesn't it? That's what it says. That's how it works. And that's what we have to do. And you know what happens? When we do, you know what God says? He says, tomorrow the Lord is going to do wonders among you. I don't know about you, but I want to see that. I've seen it before. And I can tell you right now, God's got some big things planned, because Satan wouldn't be on his on God's warriors as much as he is in this church family if God didn't have something special planned. You know what? I'm proud to be able to say I stand up here and I've seen a lot of you get knocked down. I've seen a lot of you get mowed over, but I've seen every last one of you get back up. I've seen every last one of you push forward through the heartaches and through the heartbreaks, through the devastations. And yet, you know what you've said? You have been a wonderful teacher to this pastor because every one of you has simply been able to come out of it saying this: God is good. And all the time. You can't say that in the midst of crisis if you don't believe it. And you believe it. I want to see God do wonders. Preachers are good with these acronyms and acrostics and all that. And I've used a few in my life. And part of our vision for this year, I did a little, I guess you would call it whatever. We use the letters and do different things. What does that look like? What does tomorrow look like for Central Baptist Church? Well, here's what we're going to have to do. We're going to have to, the C in CBC not only stands for Central, but it's going to stand for connect with others. We have got to connect with others. The pandemic tried to pull us completely apart from each other, didn't it? The pandemic tried to keep us from being able to fellowship one with another. It pushed us apart. And the thing about it is, we got comfortable where that is. We need to connect with people. We've got to. How are you ever going to win the lost unless you're among the lost? We cannot allow Satan to take us and turn us inward on ourselves. We've got to realize that the mission field is outside these walls. We have got to connect with other people. By the way, we also have to connect with each other in here. Let me tell you one of the greatest things I love about my discipleship group, and one of the greatest things I love about Steve's discipleship group, and one of the things I love about your Sunday school classes. You know what it is? That you love each other, and that you connect with one another, and that you have a meal together so you can spend time with each other. The guys on Wednesday go out to the Olympic. Well, I was getting ready to say not just because they like to eat, but that's a really good thing. That's just the icing on the cake, isn't it, Mark? But it's about the fellowship with each other. It's about the connections with each other. That is where ministry is really done. You see, my job is to prepare you. My job is to train you to go out into the world and make a difference for Christ. That's what the preacher's job is. But it's our job on the grassroots of where we go on a daily basis to make it happen. You know, I've seen those times. Like I said, I live over 3 hours away from here in a snowstorm at my dad's funeral. Steve Kelly's D-Life group showed up at my dad's funeral. That is connecting with people. That is loving people. And I introduce Mom to those that came up, and I'm like, yeah, this Steve Kelly's got a discipleship group from our church, and you know, and Ken and yeah, the folks that were there to introduce them in a snowstorm. Man, in North Carolina, if it calls for snow, it's a four loaf alert. Y'all gonna be enjoying them milk sandwiches. They drove in the snow up into West Virginia to support my family, to support me. That, my friend, is ministry. That, my friend, is connection. That, my friend, is what will catapult us to see what God's going to do tomorrow. When we love each other in that manner, and we say, I'm going to be praying for you and mean it. I've stood and preached text for over 30 years that right now I'm getting to live. And let me tell you one thing I know. I know that they're true. I know that everything I preached before by faith that I now have to live is true. It's true. We are going to have to connect with each other. We are going to have to connect with other people in our future of 2024. So the C in Central also means connect. What about the B? Baptist. Well, what else does B stand for? It stands for build up the body through encouragement and edification. That is what the Bible tells us to do, doesn't it? As God's people, it says we are to build up the body. I remember one time a guy said to a director of missions, he said, we want to get rid of our pastor. He said, how do we do that? And he said, well, I'll tell you what, you need to pray for him, for one thing. He said, because if you pray for him, he'll be preaching to the point that every other church in the association will want him. And he'll be able to go somewhere else. He said, then the next thing you need to do is every now and then, he said, and make it a little bit more often, when he hits a point, say amen. Or put a hand up or say hallelujah. Do something like that. Because what will happen is he'll get so excited, he'll preach himself into a heart attack, then you can get a new one. You see, we've got to build up the body. We shouldn't be cutting each other down. We shouldn't be talking behind each other's back. We need to be the ones that are right there beside you, walking through the troubled times in life. Not only do we have your six, we'll walk by your side. And sometimes when you need us, it's to walk out in the front when the bullets are flying. That, my friend, is what God's people do. They build up. They edify. They look for the good, not the bad. Our world has gotten to the point where we have majored on criticizing. We have majored on all of the things that we don't like. We have majored on the things that are bad, and we just downright get an attitude problem. Guess what? Me too. But it's time to change that. It's time to truly exhibit that love, to build up the body. Well, who's the body? This is the body. Man, we need to be encouraging one another. We need to be praying for one another. We need to stand in the gap when the gap is wide. Let me tell you, those are some of the greatest victories. When you have an opportunity to do something for somebody who can't, or when you have that opportunity to go to somebody and say, hey, look, man, I know you just had a setback in your career, but I just wanted to tell you how much I appreciate who you are and what you do. Have you ever done that? I'm not just talking about church, but have you ever gone up and told your Sunday school teacher how much you appreciate them for taking the time every week to prepare a Sunday school lesson that you might be able to draw closer to God? Have you ever gone to your discipleship leader and said, man, I want to thank you for taking time out of your schedule and your day to be able to bring us together, because you've done a pretty good job at creating that fellowship, and we get to sit around and talk about Jesus. By the way, that's not a bad thing. Give it a try sometime. We get to grow from one another. But I'll promise you this, that when the tough times hit, those are the people you're going to reach out to. The people that you're with are going to be the ones that are lifting you up, that are building you up. When you say, look, I'm hurting right now and I need some prayer, they're going to be sitting there, they're going to be backing you on ready five in prayer. We're going to have to build up the body through encouragement and through edification. So we covered this, the C and the B in Central Baptist, now the last one, church, CBC. The other C stands for challenge. And change the status quo. I don't know about you, but I don't like the status quo. A lot of us do, because there's a lot of us that just flat out don't like change. But you know what? Change is imminent. It happens all the time. You don't think so? Go back and get your high school, your senior high school picture, and hold it up and look in the mirror and tell me change don't happen. Amen? Some of us wouldn't even recognize ourselves. Be like, who is that? Change doesn't have to be a bad thing. Change is imminent. Change is going to happen. We need to challenge ourselves. We need to change that status quo. So it's not just the same old thing. Because remember what I said a little while ago? If we do the same old thing, we get the same old results. It's time to challenge the status quo. It is time to create a culture. You've heard that word used a lot. You hear it specifically with athletic teams. You hear it in the business world. But what happens is we have got to create a culture in Central Baptist Church. And what does that culture need to look like? It needs to be a culture of love. It needs to be a culture of joy. It needs to be a culture of fellowship. It needs to be a culture that creates champions for Christ. It needs to be a culture that carries out the Great Commission. It needs to be a culture that sends people out into the field. And folks, let me tell you something. That can happen because I've seen it here. I've seen it be that way. I've seen it be to the point where people didn't want to miss church because they had people that encouraged them, that edified them, and that things were going to be different along the way. It was one of those deals where you said, I got to get to church because if I don't, that's what gives me strength for my journey to make it through the week. It can still be that way. But we're going to have to love each other like we never have before. We're going to have to see a culture change within our church. That the status quo is not good enough. You see, if Israel would have maintained the status quo, they still would have been in the wilderness and they never would have gotten to the promised land. You know what? I'm sure when Joshua said, here's what we're going to do, there were probably some that said, well, you know, I don't know. Kind of like it out here. Spent my whole life out here. Yeah, if I go in there, I don't know if I really want to live in a house. I'm used to bedding down in the sand out here with the camels. Yeah, I really don't know what it'd be like to have a spring where I can get water. We have to wander around over here and try to figure out someplace in the desert. God said, this is the land I'm going to give you, the land that flows with milk and honey. And he says the same thing to you and I. But it will never, ever happen with the status quo. And Joshua said to the people, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. He is saying that to Central Baptist Church. We're going to have to see those changes take place. We're going to have to see. If we're going to be what God wants us to be, and if we're going to change this town, and if we're going to change the county, the state, and the world, it's going to start right here. And it's all hands on deck. We can't just sit back and be spectators. For the love of God, we have to do this. We have to come together. We've got to get busy. The pandemic gave us all permission to lay down. And I've heard the old adage before, and it's not original to me. Maybe y'all have heard it before, but heart dropsy. Y'all ever heard that? Drop down, ain't got the heart to get back up. That's where we are. I think sometimes we're still shell-shocked. But this is something else I also know. I also know that when God calls us to do something, we're invincible till God gets done with us, no matter what. Some of you know that better than I do. You plow forward. That's the CBC of 2024. Connect. Build up, challenge and change the status quo. That's part of it. Now, some of y'all are sitting back. Now, some of y'all are scared to death right now. Some of you all, the Lord's been going. By the way, it's not my message. This is his. And he's done found you out. You're a little shell-shocked right now. You're a little scared. You don't know what to do. You don't know what to think. Good. Because see, when you're that way, you're listening to what he tells you to do rather than freelancing it and doing what you think is best and what's right. And that is a great first step. Let me tell you something. Yeah, it's a little scary. Remember what I told you before? You go to the amusement park and there's a roller coaster and there's a merry-go-round. Merry-go-round is safe. Merry-go-round is easy. Merry-go-round does that, plays that music. And that's all you do. You go around in circles. But the roller coaster, wow. Did you ever notice that? That kept changing. How many of y'all remember the old wooden roller coasters? Man, they made all kinds of racket, and they'd go down a hill and up a hill and around a circle, and you loved every minute of it. But then a few years later, they came out with the metal ones. Remember that? And they still went up and down hills. Then, a little while later, they came out with the loop. That thing would go down and it would do a loop. And then after that, they came out with the corkscrew. So you do a loop and a corkscrew. And they keep on coming up with new and different things. Have you ever noticed that? What changes have been made on the merry-go-round? You know what? It still goes around in a circle. Which one do you want to ride? You want to ride the merry-go-round? Some of y'all are going, I ain't riding no roller coaster. All right, there you go. Remember I said some of y'all are scared. Don't worry, I will watch the others ride the roller coaster in line with you at Carowinds. But listen, this is a great journey. This is what God has us cut out for and prepared for. And I believe with all of my heart, as hard as I can preach it, this truly can be the best year we've ever had. But we got to get in the game. We're going to have to tell people about Jesus outside of the church where people already know Jesus. And I know that still the overriding question is this. How do we do that? Well, today you heard part one of our 2024 vision. There's more to come. I don't want to get into it right now because all of y'all won't eat. You'll walk around traumatized all day. This is a lot to take in. Already, it's a lot to take in. Already, the Lord has begun to deal with you about where you are in the midst of this. You see, for some of us, the Lord said, you're sitting on the sideline. Listen, for some of y'all out there watching, you need to get back in church. This is where church happens. This is where people happen. Some of y'all are watching because you have to and you're shut in. That's great. But don't use it as an excuse to be away from the body that needs you and you need them. There, I said it. We'll get it out there. This is church. You do church together. You become the church. It's not a thing you do. It's what you become. Hard to do that from the sofa. I get it. There's coffee and eggs. Well, if you have to bring your McMuffin and coffee, come on down. Bring your McMuffin and coffee. You better be ready to share it, though. Cut that thing into 100 pieces. It's a lot to take in, guys. How do I know it's a lot to take in? It's been a lot for me to take in. But God is challenging us into a new year. Connection. It keeps going over our head. Connect. How are you connected? How are you connected with each other? How are you connected with the church? How are you connected with your coworkers? How are you connected with your neighbors? You have got to connect. It's kind of funny because I watch those commercials and I kind of see myself in the commercials where the guy's talking about how you're becoming like your parents, your homeowner becoming like your parents. The guy that's standing at the salad bar and he's like, oh, it's like a science project. Well, that's me. Have you seen the one where he meets LL Cool J and he just introduces himself and he's trying to take a selfie and he's doing it all wrong? And everything? That might be us. But how are you connected? I want you to think about these things. I want you to pray about these things this week. How are you connected? How can you build up and encourage the body of Christ? And how is it that you're going to accept the challenge to change the status quo as we go forward? To create within Central Baptist Church a culture that loves people to the point that they can't wait to get here on Sundays. Because they know they're going to be loved. They know that when the world has beat them up, somebody's going to put their arm around them and say, I want you to know I love you. And mean it. I'm not talking about that fake stuff because people can see right through it. But when you tell a brother, listen, I'm going to be praying for you. I'll let you listen. Can I tell my church? Can Bonnie put it out on the prayer list? Which you do a great job. By the way, since my brain's still mush, what you got in line is a good thing on my behalf. She lets you know because you know what? Prayer's important. Bonnie understands that. She's willing to put those prayer requests out so that you can see them and have them in your hand and stick them on your refrigerator, your desk, or wherever else so that you'll be called to them. I can't tell you how many times I drive down the road and the Lord brings somebody across my heart or my mind and I just say, Lord, give them what they need today. And then I see walking miracles. Good to see Jeff with us today. You don't look any different than you did last time you was here, buddy. You look good. You look good. 2024, first Sunday, Jeff's here. By the grace of God, Jeff's here. Dave and Donna here. By the grace of God, but they're here. And yet how many people neglect this opportunity that so many people strive so tremendously to be a part of? Yeah, they could have been sitting at home watching it. Jeff could have been sitting at home watching it, but that ain't the same, is it? Listen, get on down here. Not right now because I'm getting ready to close, but you can be here tonight, 6 o'clock. I'm going to tell you some more ways that we need to go forward in 2024. As the Lord had put them on my mind. That to start with is something that needs to sink in for us right now. That's the personal part. How are we going to connect? How are we going to build up the body? And how are we going to change the culture and the status quo in our church, in our lives, in our families' lives as we go forward? Why do we look forward to that? Why? Because here's what God's doing. He's given us that opportunity to put those things in place today, because tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. He's saying, get ready. Kind of like put your seatbelt on. Put your seatbelt on, because the road's going to get a little bumpy. It's going to be a little different. Put your seatbelt on. You ever seen somebody that didn't do that? I saw a dude hit the top of a plane one time when they had that seatbelt light on. And the flight attendant kept saying, you need to put your seatbelt on. There's kind of a lot of turbulence that we're hitting around there. And that guy would not do that. He just evidently had a problem with the seatbelt that he didn't like it. And we were almost to Atlanta, and I don't know what happened, but we hit a downdraft or something, and we must have lost 1,000 feet in about 2 seconds. I was facing forward, and I saw this guy go all the way up and hit the ceiling and stick there for a couple of seconds before coming back down. I wanted so bad to say, see? She told you 3 times to put your seatbelt on. You pay the consequence. Of course, that was after I finished turning green and going, scared me to death. But that was something to watch. I was like, wow. You know what the Lord's saying? The Lord's saying, put your seatbelt on today. Because tomorrow I'm going to do some wonders. Put your seatbelt on. Latch the bar down on the roller coaster, because you ain't riding the merry-go-round no more. Connect, build up, challenge and change the status quo to create a culture of love and joy and fellowship that makes champions for Christ in Central Baptist Church. I don't care what anybody says about newfangled this or newfangled that. This is the only newfangled we need, and this is what says we're supposed to do as a body of believers. Plain and simple. We preach the word, we teach the word, we disciple. That's what God is going to hold us accountable for. He don't care about the rest of it. Let's keep the main thing the main thing. And I'll be honest with you, that really excites me about what 2024 holds. And you know what really excites me even more? I get to be a part of it. I get to be a part of it. If you've ever had that opportunity to win somebody to Jesus, you ever notice what you want to do? You want to go win someone else to Jesus. When we have those opportunities to celebrate as believers, listen, it would do my heart great for us to just have to leave the baptistry filled up from Sunday to Sunday because of the number of people who are coming to know Jesus as Savior. We've seen that around here before. I'd love for us just to have to say, well, look, we're just not going to let the water out of it. We're just going to have to chlorinate it so stuff don't grow in it because we're using it so often. Listen, folks, it can happen. And I believe that 2024 is our year. But we are going to have to step up and be involved. It's no more sitting in the stands. It's no more sitting on the bench. It is time to get in the game. It's time to stand up and be counted. Look, I know that at times people have problems with other people. Remember what I said before? We have to view people like Jesus views them. We have to look at them and say, you know what? That person, although they make me think of things that don't please Jesus, is still my brother or my sister. You can choose your friends, but you can't choose your family. You have to let. Some of y'all have some siblings that grate on your nerves. You know exactly what I'm talking about. Hey, here's the thing. If you're a believer, you have to love me because I'm family. You got to love me. But you know what? Some people are really easy to love. Seems like those are the ones that God seems to be calling home so much here lately, isn't it? We're going to do this, guys. Change that status quo. Make those connections. Build up the body of Christ. You got that? CBC, remember it. I'm probably going to put it on stuff that you'll see around here to continue to remind you to do that. Because I promise it will make a change. Now, there's some other things I've got. They're coming next week because I got to shut it down. I've run out of time. But God's given us these moments to sanctify ourselves today. Because tomorrow, He wants to do some incredible wonders. And you know what He's saying? He's saying, I can't do it right now because y'all aren't ready. You ever done that with somebody? I've said this before. Some of you have known. You're getting ready to pick something up off the back of a truck, and it's heavy, and you're like, it's heavy. And they're like, I got it. And I'm like, are you sure? It's heavy. Oh, yeah, I got this. And then all of a sudden, oh, boom. I ain't got this. And you're like, I told you. You know what God's saying? Get ready today because something's coming tomorrow. Let's get ready. I can't do it until you all are ready, until you sanctify yourselves today, till you get your connections right, till you get not only the connections, but the building up of the body, the edification, because we got to do this together. I remember playing on one of the greatest teams I ever played on in my life. Actually, two of them, baseball and football, my senior year. You know why? Because we loved each other. We were there for each other. We cared for each other. We played ball together. We played ball for each other. You don't see that today, believe it or not. It's about how many NIL deals can I get, and it's all about me. No, we played as a team because we loved each other. And here I am 40-plus years removed from those days and still remember that team like it was yesterday because we loved each other. We were there for each other. Even had a reunion with our coach back a couple of years ago just to say how much we appreciated him and what he meant to everybody in their lives. Doctors, lawyers, preachers that went on because he helped mold us into who we are today. CBC, baby, 2024. Connect, build up, challenge, and change the status quo. Keep that in your mind. It's going to become important. So how do we do that? Those are some things we're going to talk about next week. Brad, I'm going to ask you guys to take your place because I always have to ask this question first. We're talking about what 2024 looks like as a church. Well, you know what? I can't believe the number of people who come into a church that don't know Jesus. They sit in church all their life and they've never trusted him. They think it's about some process, and it's not. It's about a relationship. So I want to ask you today, do you have that relationship with the Holy God, the one and only Holy God that we come here to worship through Jesus Christ, his Son? Have you said, Lord, I know I'm a sinner. I do need a Savior. I confess that. I give my life to you. If not, I'm just simply going to say, if the Lord is convicting your heart towards that salvation, if he's knocking on that heart's door, then you simply bow your head wherever you are and say, Lord, I'm a sinner. Forgive me and save me. In Jesus' name, amen. And I promise you he'll do that. But that's just the start. You don't just say, oh, check my box. Nope. You just signed up. And he's got plans for you. He's got plans for you, maybe right here, to utilize the talents and abilities that he's given you in this body to see something different happen. I'm going to tell you a little bit more about what 2024 looks like in regard to our vision this next coming Sunday. But do you know the Lord? Listen, if you just trusted him, we want to celebrate with you. That's part of connection. That's part. And by the way, that's why we're here. That's what I preach for. I want to see people come to know Jesus. So don't sit back and say, well, we got to get to lunch. Forget lunch. Hey, listen, lunch is still going to be there, and you'll still beat the Methodist there. Come on. Let us celebrate with you. We want to celebrate you. That's cool. That's fun. Maybe you're here and you've just been in the vortex of the tornado since coming out of the pandemic. All of us have. All of us went in it. The question is, have we all gotten out of it? What is it that the Lord has said to you? Maybe you've been sitting idly by. I will make you this promise that if you've listened to the Holy Spirit, you're saying, I'm not what I was pre-pandemic for the Lord. Because I've asked that question to people, and even some of the greatest servants I know said, I'm not what I was before the pandemic. It's easy to get lazy. It's easy to be drawn away. But you can change that starting today. What will you do? Will you say, Lord, it's a new year. I can't do it by myself. But Lord, I want to be what you want me to be so that tomorrow I might see you do some great things. Help me today. Can you do that? Listen, just a moment, we're going to have our invitation hymn. If you've trusted Christ, please let us know. If you need me, please let me know. The altar is here. We still believe in a good old-fashioned altar call. If you need to spend some time there with the Lord, just leaving stuff, I promise that by the time you get up and walk back to your seat, the Holy Spirit's already swept that altar clean. That's the way he is. What do you need to do? I'm just simply going to ask that you stand where you are as we sing our invitation hymn number 291, Beneath the Cross, and as Brad leads us, you do business with the Lord.
Thank you.
are closed, as you still continue to do business with God, don't let this moment escape you. Don't let the Holy Spirit's beckoning in your heart turn away from you and slip away from you as we slip away from this place. Act on whatever it is right now. As you can continue to do business with God, I'm going to ask that our ushers make their way to the front as we prepare to receive the Lord's tithe and our offering to Him. Father, you are so good to us, and all good things come from you. Lord, you have taken care of us in ways that we haven't even considered, but Lord, we're grateful for them. As we come to this time where we continue to worship you by giving back the tithes and the offerings, we pray, Father, that you will truly bless the gift, use it for your kingdom. Lord, we pray that you will bless the giver, because you've made some promises in your word that you will do some incredible things in the life of those who follow your will and who put you to the test. Lord, I pray right now that you would just show yourself to be incredibly real in the hearts and lives of those trusting you as they give back right now. And Lord, we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Out here, as far as birthdays and anniversaries this week, we only have one listed. And by the way, if you don't hear yours, that's because we don't have it. If you'll have to let us know so we can put it on there. But the one we have for this week actually is Wednesday, and that is our very own Katie Marie Nelson, queen of our blood drive. Be sure to give her a hug, let her know how much you appreciate her and all that she does. She does such a wonderful drive job with our blood drive, which, by the way, is this coming Tuesday. So,
for my birthday,
that's it. A birthday present for Katie is for you to come to the blood drive and give a pint of blood. Not just get something to eat. You gotta.
We'll take it.
She said she'll take you anyway. I'm not. I'm saying you got to give it up. Hey, I was not allowed to have a bowl of chili until I gave blood. That's how this whole thing got started. That's it. What can I say? They shamed me into it because I was hungry. But nonetheless, be sure to come out, support our blood drive. That is this coming Tuesday from 2:30 to 7. If you have any questions or that you would like to help, be sure to see Katie right up here. She can get you squared away on that. Events for the day, 3:30, my D-Life group will be meeting over in the conference room of the educational building. 5 o'clock, make a note of this, choir people. This is a new time for choir practice. It is 5 o'clock instead of 4:45. So 5 o'clock. Everybody say it with me. 5 o'clock. There you go. Choir members or potential choir members, 5 o'clock today. Come on down. Awana is at its normal time. We're kicking back up after Christmas break, 5:30. We will start that over in our educational building. And then 6 o'clock, our Bible study with Pastor David will be right here in the sanctuary. Events through the week. Steve Kelly's D-Life group meets tomorrow. That's on Mondays at 6:30 over in the educational building conference room. I mentioned Tuesday, we've got our bi-monthly blood drive. Wednesday is always the men's breakfast fellowship at the Olympic in Colfax. Man, what a great way to start making some of those connections. Come on out. There's no agenda. You just have a wonderful time of fellowship, getting to know each other, and have a good old meal. Also want to let you know that on Wednesday, January the 17th at 9 a.m., the CBC women will have a breakfast fellowship at Cagney's Restaurant on Friendly Avenue. Who would be the information person for that? Sylvia. There's Sylvia. Wave, Sylvia, so people can see you. Sylvia is in charge of that. If you need any information, be sure to see her. Girls, try to outdo the guys on Wednesday. I know what it is. Eddie goes, so Sylvia says, we got to have this for the women. I got you. So once again, let me give you the date on that. That is Wednesday, January the 17th at 9 a.m., women's breakfast at Cagney's Restaurant on Friendly. Sylvia will have more details for you if you need them. During the month of January, the Narthex will have some library books that we have. Is that right? Okay, what's going on is obviously Dina tries to keep the material fresh within the library. So if there's material out there in the Narthex that you would like, you can take that, correct? Pick that up, take it with you if you see some of those books. By the way, if you do not pick them up through the month of January, they will be disposed of because we have to make room for the new stuff to come in. We'll either find a way to donate it, but it will be going away from here. So Dina is giving you the opportunity as the media center director for you to be able to have an opportunity to take some of these books or resources with you. Anything you see in the Narthex is available for you to take right on home. Is that correct? Okay, there we go. That'll be out there for the month of January. Also, I want to remind you that our Cuba mission trip is coming up March the 1st through the 8th. We will begin our fundraising for that. And I say fundraising, it will be our offerings for our Cuba team will be in the month of February. The Sunday's in the month of February. It's a pretty aggressive budget. You guys have done such a wonderful, wonderful job over the past years and being able to support the ministries. Once again, as a reminder, we ask those that are going to pay their own way or raise their support outside of the church so that the money that Central Baptist Church gives actually goes toward the ministry and mission projects that we do while we're in Cuba. And I'll try to give you more information about that as we go forward in the month of February. But we will be taking the Cuba Mission Fund on the Sundays in February because we will be leaving March the 1st to go. So be praying ahead of time about what it is that God would have for you to do in regard to this offering. It's a new year. Man, I'll tell you one thing. We might be crippled, we might be down, but we're not out yet. Brother David, come on up and let us know if there's anything I have completely forgotten and send us off in prayer.
I think you covered it all. Let's pray. Father, we're so thankful for the privilege we have of being in your house today. Lord, we thank you for the miracles you've worked in the lives of many of our people in the last few weeks with illness and difficulty with physical problems. Lord, you are always God, and we thank you for who you are and what you do. God, help us to take the message today, apply it to our lives. Lord, help us to get involved in winning Oak Ridge to Jesus in 2024. And help us begin that today as we go out. Help us to be a witness for you wherever we go. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.